Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Welcome! Welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting, and the second attempt to do a radio cast as the computer ate the first one. After I had finished. So I now have to remember all the things I said, which, of course, I won't. Most everything has been going this way for me for some time lately. I don't know why it is. I only know that it is. In any case, we're back here in the saucer pod one more time, hoping that we won't find ourselves here for the third time after a little while. We're hovering above Police State USA this evening, thinking about the many, many outrages committed against the common souls of this land by the privileged elite, for whom the military and law enforcement plied their trade. Justice has left town, and so is law and order. Do I really want to talk about this stuff? No, I do not. But for some reason, I always open here with this sort of thing. However I lost the radio broadcast I just recorded, I do not know. I recorded it. It was there. And suddenly, during playback... Only the last 4 minutes was there. The degree of frustration and unexplainable phenomena is off the charts these days. I guess it's in order to check out whether I crumble before its relentless onslaught or not. One of the things that happens is that it keeps on no matter what until I do crumble. Then it's okay. It's as if the point has been made, and the point gets made over and over and over until there is no meaning in the point whatsoever. I'm supposed to take something away from this, but I have no idea what that is, and I never have had. It seems like there's a specific amount of tape on my cassette, and the cassette is wired to misfire every 30 seconds until it runs out of tape. There is no particular behavior pattern that has any effect on this. It just keeps happening until one day there's no longer any tape in the cassette. I can tell you that I look forward to that more than I do to the drawing of breath or the beating of my heart. I went to this large festival that takes place in this town every year for 3 days in September. I went there this afternoon. There thousands of people milling about. Most of them are stuffing their faces with some kind of pork product, followed by many, many pints of beer. It's a lurching, red-faced atmosphere that is not easy to negotiate. Later on, after night falls, the crowd will be much larger and a great deal more intoxicated, but you never see any fistfights, which you would surely see in the UK or the US with the size of a crowd. You don't even see any police, except for a couple standing around by the ambulances in case someone drops to the ground from an excess of pork. I was standing in line waiting to get into the cake pavilion. It was slow going because there was this woman with one of those wheeled strollers that the infirm used to get around on. I'm familiar with the type, if not with that particular appliance. The woman was about 600 years old, so it was slow going. From the side came this largest woman who ran directly into me, like she expected me to give way, and then she was going to blow past me so that she could stand behind the 600-year-old woman. I didn't move an inch. Simply turned and looked at her and said, "Excuse it?" A couple of minutes later, she tried it again. Maybe she felt she hadn't exerted enough force. She didn't have linebacker size, nor was she wearing shoulder pads, although she did have some number of flesh pads. Once again, I didn't move an inch. This frustrated her to the point that she turned to her companions and said in a language common to this country, "I'm just trying to get over there." I'm presuming she eventually accomplished that, but she did have to wait for me to get to where she could cut over to the side. I can hear at least one listener saying, "Come on, Visible, let the old lady through." I'm not an enabler, and when someone behaves in a rude fashion with no justification whatsoever, I'm not going to oblige them by giving way so that they can go off with the idea that this kind of behavior pays off, and maybe they should make it a part of their arsenal on a regular basis if it wasn't so already. In any case, she wasn't going to get past the 600-year-old woman anyway, even if she did get past me. I couldn't stay very long. There's something about thousands of people stuffing questionable meat into their face all day long that puts me around the bend. You could feel the heat of appetite in the air. It was that powerful. The people of this country are usually, I say usually, fairly polite, certainly more polite than Americans, but you go ahead and put any group of people into a crowd where people are pressed up against each other, and you're going to see some amount of rude behavior, even if it's fairly subtle. Perhaps I'm getting overly sensitive these days. I could practically hear the subliminal chatter going on in all the heads at the same time, and that combined with the oppressive heat of the collective hunger, the woozy atmosphere of people drunk in the midday, all served to send me flying out of there. I just couldn't take it. I tried to have a beer and watch the crowd for a while, but it was all too much, and I was soon gone. At this juncture of the broadcast, I have to admit to feeling a little low. The broadcast that never was, and which got recorded before this one, only it didn't get recorded, was one of the better examples of this sort of thing that I've been engaged in, and for some reason, I can't now remember what it was that I talked about. The usual, I guess, and I've no doubt said it all before, but it's disappointing to have it happen today in concert with all the other things that have been going on for months now. It seems like the better I behave, the worse things get for me. I was about, 10 minutes away from purchasing a ticket to the South Pacific a couple of days ago when Suzanne talked me into staying around for about 3 more months and getting my permanent EU residency card. It looks like I'll certainly go, just not when I thought I would. I'd like to send my gratitude to all the residents of that zone who assisted me in terms of finding me somewhere to land. I really appreciate that, and I hope to see you shortly. This has to be about the 10th time or more in recent times when my plans have been stood on their head without warning. I have never been, and never in such an unpredictable period of such duration, and I have never seen such an unpredictable period of such duration in this life before. It is truly mind-blowing. My sense of the meaning of it all is that something is going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet, and whoever it is that manages my existence, I know it's not me, is holding off on any dramatic changes to this particular life until whatever it is that is going to happen does happen. I see people moving through this life with all the ease that is possible. They never have a care for lodgings or finances. In some cases, they have more money than they can count. In some cases, they may even have more lodgings than they can count. Doesn't matter what they do, how badly they behave, everything works out okay for them. It's almost as if without bad behavior, they wouldn't have any of these things. It's almost as if bad behavior is the source of their good fortune. Truly, everything is upside down and backwards, unless it's always been like this. And I think to myself, what about all that scripture that promises so much? I've come too far believing certain things to switch horses at this point. I can accept bumps in the road, and I can accept long patches of bad highway, but this is an extraordinarily extensive patch of bad highway. I remember all the times I've been told that things are as they are and happen as they do for a very good reason. At this point, I would have to say that not very much makes sense. Is that the point? Is that the point that one has to do away with logic and reason and simply accept that everything is as it should be, even if it makes no sense whatsoever? Is it that glass darkly thing? I think about the times about which scripture has been written and the terrible difficulties that hounded the footsteps of all true believers. I reflect back on the horrendous cruelties that took place in those times. I flash forward to these times and the horrendous cruelties taking place. How does one maintain a sunny disposition in the midst of such chaos and discord? Not to mention the vast sea of indifference being exhibited by the millions who are getting by okay, and whose total concern begins and ends there. Despite the fierce oppositions to progress experienced at my end of the spectrum, I'm still more or less in a good mood most of the time. I have no explanation for that. There's no logical reason for me to be optimistic, but somehow I am. This tells me that a part of me knows more than the rest of me knows. Over on the hidden side of my being, whoever that resident is, he knows things I don't know, and he keeps sending confirmation of this to the surface. No evidence attends his confirmation. There's no text messaging from the subconscious, no images of good things to come. It's all just uncorroborated sensation. It's strong, it's powerful, and it's affirming, but there is no given reason for any of it. As is almost always the case with me, the same things, the same thoughts and feelings are also taking place in the hearts and minds of the listeners at a far remove. For some reason, I meant to talk about these things today instead of the far more meaningful and beautiful thoughts that went out in the first recording. This recording bears little resemblance to that one. Once again, it makes no sense, but once again, I'm guessing it is supposed to be this way. What was it the Buddha said? All life is pain caused by ignorant desire. This indicates that suffering is the most complete and continuous human experience on this plane. It was that genuine mystic, poet, and friend of God, Khalil Gibran, who said, and I'm paraphrasing it here, as I always have to do, "Do not protest against the sword that cuts into your heart, for that sword is only cutting deeper into the cup that holds your joy." I met a man once who had taken a visit from Gibran. He was an archbishop in the old Catholic Church. During his younger days, he was a bit of a celebrity figure who hung out with the Vanderbilts and other members of the elite social class of the day. To hear him tell it, he grew tired of the scene and retired to the top of the mountain, a mountain in Woodstock, where he built a church and living space with his own hands. I lived with him for some number of months. His name was Father Francis. When he told me that Gibran had once visited him, and of course Gibran was a big hero of mine, I asked him what he was like. He said he was a good man with a kind heart, but he drank too much wine. I have a treasure house of anecdotes from this life. I can't remember them all, but they will surface out of the blue here and there, and I will remember, yes, that happened, didn't it? It has always been a curiosity to me that some people cannot remember things that happened once. I used to ruminate over that, wondering why it was so, and then I got it. They don't remember because remembering would compromise the state of the present for them. They would be forced to investigate why they are where they are instead of somewhere else. I suppose it's a kind of denial. A lot of the maladies and infirmities that come with age I attribute to this particular kind of denial. When one refuses to face certain things, they make war on their own consciousness, and eventually the battleground becomes the physical body. This is why, though you may die from any number of diseases or conditions, it is usually the stress that brought it about. Existence is stressful. Those who are unable to process it become the victims of it. If you are relying on the world around you to provide you with tranquility and peace of mind, you're not going to get either one. If these things are to be found at all, they're to be found inside you, and you're not going to have much success looking in that direction either if the clamor of the world is taking up your attention while you are in pursuit of it. These things have to happen in stages. Certain forces have to be brought under control before any headway can be made whatsoever. Some lucky few have come into this life with the good fortune to be born into certain circumstances, to have access to teachers of wisdom, and they are in a position to make great strides early in their life. Others have to depend on the series of stages that follow one another as one proceeds through life, and the fortunes that come in these stages are dependent on one's consistency of behavior from one stage to the next. This is how some end up with their wits about them, and others wind up having no wits at all. If you try to view the world and its operations through the lens of conventional wisdom, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's just a bunch of survival of the fittest, but it's not even that. It's survival of the most clever and most immoral. Conventional wisdom says you should seize every opportunity for personal profit and not mind a bit about the cost or collateral damage. Conventional wisdom says that the possession of a moral compass is a serious retardant to one's progress, and that it's okay to give lip service to such an acquisition, but it's more for show than it is for anything else. Actually employing it can inhibit your success. It's hard to know what's what anymore. If some entity representative of celestial force has your ear, you may well receive the comfort and guidance that you need to soldier on through the darkness. If you're dependent on your own resources, I don't know what to tell you. Karma isn't just the things we run into in this life. Karma is our attitudes, the exact amount of every quality and shortcoming, every virtue and vice that we possess. If you're like me, they are all on a timer. And until the clock hits a particular hour, nothing's going to change very much. Might be different for you, and every ounce of effort you give amounts to whatever it is relative to on the cosmic abacus. I guess the answer at the moment, the answer for me, is just to keep on keeping on and pay no attention to what is happening to the left or the right, nor to the howling chaos that lies behind. You just have to tuck your head into your shoulders and grind out one yard after another. If it takes your entire lifetime, and your entire lifetime is composed of that and only that, well, so be it. That's just how it is. Invisible, please don't talk like that. Anyway, it has to be said. All right, my friends, we have come to the end of another broadcast. And I will see you next week if there is one. In the meantime, keep your eyes open and keep the sun in your heart. Help is on the way. Against all odds, help is on the way. That said, hail Lord Jesus Christ. Much love, Lady Nature. Hare Krishna. Alhamdulillah. Greetings, Lord Ganesh. Om Amitabha. Aloha and...
He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth, he's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.